You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
What is going on, y'all? We are back. It is another edition of No Bets Barred. This time, UFC Apex 74. We are back in the friendly confines. But it's okay. It's okay because the main event of the evening on this week is none other than two men getting in there that weighed 125 pounds the day before. We get a flyweight main event. This is going to be the... Yes, thank you. I was wondering what you're waiting for you to come in. We're getting the first men's flyweight non-title main event since 2017. First men's flyweight main event period since 2020. This is well deserved after the week off. I was like, oh man, we're going back to the Apex. But not only are we getting the main event being a flyweight fight, it's my guy, Don't Blink, Kai Kara France as well in the main
event. Guy.
This is my dream. Not only that, we're also getting a second men's flyweight bout. Tim Elliott back in the octagon. Tough circumstances for him. We can get into that a little bit later. But two men's 125ers on this card. I mean, this might as well be International Fight Week for me.
We needed that week off to recharge because we knew all of the activity coming for us. Because, I mean, we got a heavyweight fight. You know, I love me a heavyweight banger. We got a light heavyweight fight that's a spiritual. We'll get into that because before, Connor, you know me. I'm a man who does the research. I put in the work. Do you know the things that have happened since we last saw a non-title fight flyweight main event?
Fill me in, please.
August 5th, 2017, as we all remember, Pettis Moreno, Mexico City. Wonderful event. Since then, we've had two World Cups since the last time flyweight's main event, Connor. Just a few, like 2 months prior, Patrick Mahomes, you know him, Patrick Mahomes, pretty good at the old football, had just been drafted by the Kansas City Chiefs the last time flyweight's led a UFC card. Billboard's number one song was Despacito by Luis Fonsi and Daddy Yankee.
Wow.
And in movie
Justin
theaters,
Bieber on that too?
The Biebs is on that.
Love
and in
it.
Movie theaters, Connor, Spider-Man Homecoming, the first Spider-Man movie with Tom Holland. There have been three Spider-Man movies with Tom Holland since flyweights have main evented in a non-title fight.
And this was April of 2017?
August
5th of 2017. I was ready to start my final semester at UGA. That is how long it's been. That feels like an eternity ago.
I didn't even think of it as far as personal. I had been with MMA fighting for just over one year, which also feels like an eternity ago. So
it's crazy, man. It's crazy. But yeah, well-deserved. We're back. Main event. Not only that, first men's flyweight fight since the April 29th card with Cody Durden and Charles Johnson. So, I mean, by the time fight night rolls around, we will have gone a full month, May, no men's flyweight fights.
No men's flyweights May. That's what they've been calling it on the message boards. I don't know if you heard that, but you know, you can't have too much excitement in the month of May.
Just the disrespect for our guys down at 125 is unbelievable. Cannot wait for that. UFC Apex 73, we did okay. I had a nice winning week. Nothing too crazy.
I had a good week. I finished up a little over 4 units, so hit several of the gimmicks.
That's a nice winning week.
ChatGPT nailed it. Heavyweight overs hit. So, you know, we did all the things.
That Mackenzie Dern inside the distance bet, I remember specifically talking on this show about how that was going to be fun because there was going to be moments where it looked like she was going to finish. It was not fun. It was fun for like the first 2 rounds, and then when it started sinking in that like, oh man, like she's just probably not going to finish this. It was not fun. It was not fun. I regret making that bet.
That was a tough one. I will say credit to her. She was trying. This wasn't the Anjou Nan where she wasn't. She was putting the lumber to Angela Hill.
The knee directly to Angela Hill's chin where she was completely wobbled into the hip toss. That one's going to haunt me for a while. But shout out to Mackenzie Dern. Great stuff from her. Not only are we going to get into UFC Apex 74, I don't know if you got anything. KSW Coliseum 2 this Saturday. First time they did it, it was the second biggest MMA show in history. 57,000 people live. They're doing it again this weekend. Pretty stacked card for KSW standards. I'm a big KSW guy. So
KSW rules.
At the end of the show, I got a couple bets that that I've already laid down and a couple more that I'm eyeing once the props drop for them. So let's dive in. UFC Apex 74. We start the main event. Men's flyweight bout. Ooh. That is the first time in the history of this show that main event has been followed by men's flyweight bout. And I have to say, feels good. Feels good, man. I mean,
this is our Super Bowl.
Right it is here. Our Super Bowl. Yes, absolutely. The culmination of men's flyweight. Also, not going to lie, it's kind of a banger.
Like, it is a banger.
Like, I am really looking forward to this fight. Right now, Kai Kara France, minus 110. Amir Albazi, minus 110. I mean, this is a coin flip of a fight. You're getting two different stories here. Like, it's the jump for Amir, Kai, grizzled vet. I think it's a tough fight for both guys, honestly. It's really who can have the success. I mean, a lot of people talking about Amir's grappling. Kai's got great takedown defense. We saw it in that Askar Askarov fight, like fantastic takedown defense. But I mean, Amir Albazi is no chump on the feet. Like I think they're going to be trading if it stays on the feet. We've seen Kai get put in compromising positions on the ground. We've seen him sub before. I think Amir Albazi can have success. But I think Kai Kara-France can have success too, because I talked about the striking. I still think Kai Kara-France is going to be the better striker here. He's got a ton of power in those hands at 125. It's tough. I mean, you know who I'm riding with. You know I have a bet on Kai Kara-France. It doesn't really, like, we're podcast only, but I'm rocking my Kai Kara-France don't blink shirt right now. It's as easy as that. I'm riding with my guy. I took him at minus 110. But it's no easy task. Amir Albazi's 16-1 for a reason. Something that I did notice that is kind of weird. They're pretty close to the same age. Kai Kara-France, double the fights.
I mean, he's been a very active dude. He's getting out there, scrapping all the time. When did they start? I don't actually know. I'm trying to remember off the top when that happened. But yeah, that doesn't totally surprise me. Kai Kara-France is a very, very active fighter. And Albazi, certainly early in his career, as I'm pulling it up and looking at it, did not do a whole ton of fighting. Picked it up, you know, fought twice last year, but usually like one, maybe two a year seems to be his cadence.
Your thoughts on this fight?
So I thought about ChatGPTing this one because dead even fight, but I couldn't because, I mean, what if ChatGPT went against you? I knew where you were going. And that's the problem with us podcasting for this long. This is our 47th episode, Connor, by the way. We're coming up on the big 5-0.
Big 5-0. Yeah.
Coming up on the big 5-0. So, you know, I know when things are going to happen for you sometimes. And how were you not going to pick KKF? Like, it was very, very clear what was going to happen here. And so I wasn't even going to pretend to even think about Albazi. Now, as it so happens, I even agree in concept that KKF a little undervalued here. the difference in competition pretty stark. I mean, Albazi doesn't have any wins nearly as good as some that KKF has. KKF also has some losses to kind of the top tier of opposition, which is a bit tough. Like, maybe Albazi is just one of those dudes. I'm not sure that he is, though. I think what we've seen from Kaikara France his last few fights, I mean, he was competitive with Brandon Moreno before that body kick put him down, and, you know, looked very good against Askar Askarov and Cody Garbrandt, obviously. I think he's there. I think if he can keep this on the feet, which he is historically pretty good at doing, I do believe he has an advantage with the mitts. So I'm taking Kaikara France. Obviously, we're taking the under. But the question is, what is the under, Connor?
Okay, because so can we talk about how slow the props have been? We're recording this right now on Wednesday morning.
Just dropped. Or at least I just see him on DraftKings now.
On DraftKings Sportsbook. And what do they have? Just under 3.5?
Under 3.5, -160 for the over, under +130, which is great because in my notes I think they're going to set this line at 3.5. And if I can get plus money on that under, that'll be great. So +130 under 3.5, feel great about it.
What if I told you the 4.5 was even money?
I mean, I'm going to stick with the 3.5, but I don't hate the 4.5 one.
I mean, you're getting a full extra 5 minutes and, you know, I guess, yeah, 30 cents is a decent trade-off. Yeah. But honestly, man, I'm not going to lie. The sides aside, no pun intended there. I mean, I knew who I was going into this. I actually really like the fight doesn't go to a decision under 4.5, whatever you end up taking. Like, these dudes are...
Both of their last fives have ended before the fourth round, have ended inside of three rounds. So,
I mean, Albazi, 14 of his 17 have not gone to a decision, and 9 of those ended in the first round. Like, he has serious finishing capability. He's cashed flyweight unders for us before, one very close to the bell back in December. And then Kai, I mean, yeah, he was a little bit of a decision machine when he first got into the UFC, but of late, you said it, 4 of 5 have not gone to a decision. I mean,
since this show has been involved, Kai has been pretty helpful, aside from when he fought Askar Askarov, one of the enemies of Flyweight Under Nation.
Yeah. I mean, I am a fan of this under. I mean, we knew we were going to take it. I love that it's 5 rounds. I love the stylistic matchup. I mean, I think both guys are alive for a knockout. And if Albazi does get it to the ground, dude, we have seen Kai put in tough positions. We have seen him sub before.
He's alive for a finish there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm down for it. So, I mean, I think this is a great flyweight under main event. I'm glad it's not Cody Durden, Charles Johnson 5 rounds.
We might not get a flyweight main event for another 6 years if that was the one that came up.
So. Yeah, this needs to be a banger. Keep our 125ers up at the top of the card.
Let's go. But yeah, so we're in full agreement then, which isn't surprising at all.
Not surprising at all. All right, let's move on to the co-main event. It is a men's featherweight bout. Alex Caceres taking on Daniel Pineda. Daniel Pineda just fought a few weeks ago and looked good doing it. First ChatGPT bet, was that?
I think that was first ChatGPT bet, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. So,
I mean, we just have to show some love. Like, just got to show some appreciation anytime Daniel Pineda fights. 45 professional fights for this man. He has achieved
unbelievable.
Almost 30 wins. He has never won by a decision. This man is not here to get his hand raised on the scorecards. He's here to make it known who won the fight. I mean, absolute beast. And he's coming back off like a pretty quick turnaround. And I don't really know who I like in terms of a side. I think this is going to be kind of a funky matchup. I'm only seeing 1.5 right now, and it's like +160 for the under. I don't mind if the prop drops for the 2.5 and it's like a playable price, like a -125 or a -130. I would not mind an under 2.5 in this fight.
Under 2.5 is much more palatable than the 1.5.
Don't like the under 1.5 because like it feels like they could be going through some motions, but maybe like if there's a fight ends by submission at like a tasty line.
I doubt you'll get a good line, but yes, if there's something tasty there, Pineda's, both of these dudes love to submit and love to get submitted.
They love getting submitted. Pineda, sub 6 times. Casera sub 7 times. And they have a combined 26 wins by submission.
Yeah. That's why I don't think you're going to get a good price on that prop. But if you did, I would take it. One thing I just want to note, because I don't think the last time we talked about Pineda, I even realized it. This dude fought Mike Thomas Brown. He has been around forever.
Forever.
Ever. Like, that's in, I would have thought that anyone who fought MTB in the UFC had long been retired. But nope, Daniel Pineda just still just getting out there fighting four times a year or whatever it is. So I don't have a side. I think this is Casera surpassed for me. Pineda had looked pretty good his last time out, but Casera has looked really good lately. 6-7, lone loss was to Sadiq Yusuf, who is very good, and that was a competitive fight. I think the length for Casera can give Pineda some problems. We saw him struggle a bit with Feely in that regard. I don't feel confident laying the number, though. The number feels about right. Like, I think the odds are pretty well set. But if I were to take a side, I'd be on Caceres.
All right. That is the co-main event. We keep it rolling on to the next fight, a lightweight bout. Jim Miller taking on Jared Gordon. Right now, Jared Gordon is sitting at minus 180. Jim Miller coming back at plus 155. Thought about Gordon for a little bit. Then, you know, like getting knocked out a few weeks ago. I mean, I know it was a clash of heads, but he still went out cold. Don't really want to lay chalk on him. Then I thought about round two, Jim Miller. I mean, legendary guy.
Legendary fighter.
Played it last time, but then I looked at it. Jared Gordon's been finished 5 times, only in the first and third round. Jared Gordon hates getting finished in the second round so much that he's never done it. I don't know if it's going to happen.
That's when he's in rhythm, you know, between minutes 5 and minutes 10. He's vibing.
I mean, it's an immovable force meets an unstoppable object. However that saying goes, Jim Miller, round two Jim Miller is coming against round two Jared Gordon. One gets finished, one doesn't get finished. I mean, it's going to be a great round two if it makes it that far.
It's going to be a great round two. I was the other side. I kind of thought about playing Jim Miller for a minute, but again, I think these odds, at least on the straight action, are pretty good, right?
He's 44.
Yeah. I mean, you know,
it's really old. Is he 44? I'm sorry. I might be thinking of Andre Arlovski.
I think Jim Miller is 40.
40. He's going to make it to UFC 30.
I'm sorry. He's 39. He's going to turn 40 in August.
I'm sorry. That was disrespectful to Jim Miller. I was thinking of Andre Arlovski.
When you said 44, yeah. I kind of thought you were just being facetious. And wait.
Now that's so, Arlovski, who we get into later this
card. We're going to talk about Andre a little bit later. But look, I think this fight probably, like, I think Jim Miller can win, but he's going to have to be able to wrestle because he's just going to get outworked on the feet. Jim Gordon, not the right guy. Jared Gordon, just kind of a volume king on the feet. And if you look at it outside of the Hernandez fight, which was a super high pace and where Jim Miller got the worst of it, he has only eclipsed 50 significant strikes once since 2017. The man is not throwing a lot, and Jared Gordon is. Both dudes are pretty durable in that regard. So instead, I'm taking the over 2.5 here because Miller really has only been finished by like dynamic guys, Charles Oliveira, Donald Cerrone, Michael Chiesa, that kind of guy. And Gordon isn't much of a finisher. And similarly, mostly pretty good guys have gotten Jared Gordon out of there. And almost 40-year-old Jim Miller, I'm not sure he's got the juice in him to do it. So I'm taking the over 2.5, but that's my only action here.
All right. Respect. I don't mind that at all. I mean, Jared Gordon is, I mean, I know he had the Bobby Green fight, but he is typically a longer fighter in terms of his fight length. All right. We keep it moving to the second men's flyweight bout on this card.
It's Christmas, baby.
It's
free
Christmas.
Money. They're handing out free money in Vegas this week.
That's what they're saying. I mean, we can get into that in just one second. Tim Elliott taking on Victor Altamirano. I mean, let's go ahead and just talk about the under.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special 3-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prof G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prof G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
The fight doesn't go to a decision, whichever one you want to take.
Tough scene.
Tim Elliott has 4 straight decisions, 12 of his 17 UFC fights.
Yeah.
They've gone to decisions. Altamirano?
We have the same math on that. It's bad.
Hey, listen, Altamirano, 3 of his 4 have gone to a decision. It's tough, but here's what I'm going to say. Tim Elliott's been through a lot in the last few months. The James Krause situation, the Gina Mazzani situation, the Kevin Kroom, all the whole bundle, the whole kit and caboodle. It's as they say, tough right now for Tim Elliott. He's gone to Twitter. It feels like he's more locked in forever than ever. It feels like he's more motivated than ever. And I just want to pull up two tweets that Tim Elliott had this week. One, when asked about the fight, he said, "I am going to finish him. I am done with 3-round fights."
Love that.
They said, "Are you going to go for a KO or a submission?" He said, "I'm going to be searching for the KO. But more importantly, I'm just going to go in there and do some wild shit." I mean, what am I going to do? Not trust the guy?
I mean, yeah. Were you calling him a liar?
I'm not going to be the guy to call Tim Elliott a liar. Not after the run he's had. There's no way I'm calling this guy a liar. It feels like he's a good faith man, and he is the good guy in all of this, and I'm not going to call a good guy a liar. And that brings me to point number 2. I played Tim Elliott. -160. I'm just going to go ahead and do it. And you know what I'm going to do it? I'm going to call it a bro bet. Just another bro having another bro's back. Needs some support right now. Tim Elliott needs some support.
Bro bets.
He's down in the dumps. I'm going to support Tim Elliott. I want to see him win. I want to see him get some mic time. I want to see this man not just win in the octagon, but win in life. Because the situation that he's in right now, if you don't know it, Google it. Wife cheated on him with one of his best friends. It's tough is an understatement. Like, if I can actually put myself in his shoes, like, furious doesn't even begin to describe how I would be. I'd probably be in jail. The fact that Tim Elliott is able to take it out on this camp is really great stuff. And hopefully he brings it to the octagon. So yeah, bro bet, Tim Elliott, took him at -160. If I lose, you know, I'm going down with a bro. It's all right.
I mean, what's great is we just saw not the same situation, but, you know, similar strokes of after Mackenzie Dern beat Angela Hill down. The narrative is I was taking my anger. I had a lot of anger from some other things going on. And I took it out on her in there. Tim Elliott is getting the exact same opportunity to do so. Didn't even consider that factor to the fight.
It either goes one of two ways. It either goes, I had so much on my plate, I couldn't come in and perform, or that was my driving force and I just absolutely beat ass.
You got to water boy it, you know, just visualize your enemy across the cage from you. I love it. My thought is that if we're going to hit this under, it's going to be a submission, not a KO.
Ooh.
Just because Tim Elliott's kind of a funky grappler. And Altamirano, he's only been subbed once professionally, but he got RNC'd 3 times as an amateur. Tim Elliott's a little bit funky. He's got some arms. He can, you know, maybe slide into Darce if Altamirano takes a weak shot or something like that. So I think I would say if we're going to finish, give me a submission over a KO. But I love this bro bet. I have a lot of action this week, but I may feel compelled. You know what? I'm jumping in, joining the bro bet.
Let's go, bro. Just support another bro.
Bros supporting bros. That's what we do here.
We're here to support Timmy Elliott. What's one more bet? Hey, I actually have to say, I do have a lot of action this week between KSW and the UFC card. No parlays. I don't have a single parlay.
Very reasonable. I have one, but it's a gimmick parlay that we'll get into because I only have one par-like open leg that I could have taken for a parlay inclusion. And so instead, I'm just going to bet it straight, I think.
Okay. All right. Well, that is the Tim Elliott fight. I'm probably just going to play fight doesn't go to a decision. It's still like +195. Not going to go crazy on it, but I'll be there. Tim Elliott finished. We're popping champagne. Let's keep it rolling. Women's flyweight bout. Main card stacked with flyweight boutsmen and women. It's Karine Silva taking on Ketlyn Souza. And right now, you can have Karine Silva for the cheap price of minus 225. Ketlyn Souza coming back at plus 190. I guess it was just the time off. I don't know what it is, but I'm just going flyweight under is crazy here. Because I also
love it.
Played the under 2.5 in this one.
I can definitely see that. I'll be honest. I did not do a ton of research on this fight. We had a long weekend. We were doing other things.
You want me to tell you why I took it? The research behind it?
I watched two fights for each of them, and okay. I can understand the thought. I do think, Karine Silva is a very good, is a finisher. She gets finishers, and I think she's going to be the bigger woman. I just didn't watch enough of Ketlyn Souza to be like, I feel confident in making a bet here.
So Karine Silva is the female Daniel Pineda. They are a match made in heaven. They should, really think about going on a date after this card, because Karine Silva has never won by a decision as well. 15 wins for her, all of them coming via finish. Also, 18 of her 19 pro bouts have gone under the 2.5. Ketlyn Souza, on the other hand, 12 of her 16 have not gone to a decision. They have finishing capabilities. Silva much more than Souza. Both have been finished numerous times. I think that this can happen. I think we're very live to finish under the 12.5. Also, all those stats there, neither of them ever going to decisions and getting under 2.5s. I feel like if this was a men's fight, it would be lined differently. If all these stats applied if all these stats applied to a men's lightweight fight, I feel like the under 2.5 would be minus 225 or something.
That's interesting. That's very, obviously very
styles. Styles makes fights, and the way that you finish people is obviously going to have an indication on the line. But with how often these girls do not go to decision, I will play the minus 105 on it. I'm cool with that.
I'll also let you know. I haven't fully done the research, but as I had started looking into it, 2/3 of women's flyweight bouts this year have not gone to decision. So, things happen in that regard for you over Welch. Something to keep an eye on.
I love it. Let's keep it moving. Last fight on the main card, Jamie Malarkey taking in short notice replacement Mohamedjan Naimov. Right now, Malarkey is just a ridiculously big favorite. He's minus 385, minus 435, plus 350 coming back for Naimov. Interesting note, two late replacement fighters, both from Tajikistan.
Connor, you know me.
This is it.
This isn't it. I wanted this to be it. I really did. But I can't bet Naimov. I could talk myself into betting Gafarov. I cannot bet Naimov.
Dude, it's a tall task, man. It's a tall task. Jamie Malarkey is... All right, can we talk about Jamie Malarkey going from the biggest underdog on the card against Garam, and now he is the biggest favorite on the card against Naimov? That just right there indicates that I don't really want any part of this fight.
Yeah, no part of this fight. It is, and that's it. So you and I are exactly here, because I don't know. It wouldn't totally stun me if Naimov, came in and pulled something off here, but he hasn't beaten anybody good. I have a healthy skepticism for dudes coming off of Tough Enough, because that promotion has produced one good fighter ever. And that was Natan Levy. So, whatever. I just can't be in, but I really wanted the Tajikistan parlay. I was so ready as I was looking over the card for it. I was just write that one down, chalk it up, easy parlay. And then I just couldn't do it.
Yeah. It'd have huge odds, but yeah, maybe if the price is right on the fight doesn't go to a decision, I could probably get talked into that. I could see Jamie Malarkey just working him down as the fight goes on.
Yeah, maybe, but I already have a ton of action and don't need to just be finding more to find it. But speaking of, what is the price on this? Let me try and pull this up and make a parlay here. We can move on. Hefty.
Let's move on to the prelims. A welterweight bout, Eliza Zaleski dos Santos Kind of a tongue twister there for me versus Abubakar Nurmagomedov. Right now, I mean, I think it's Zaleski is a very, very short favorite, minus 115 to Nurmagomedov's minus 105. I just have to say, going back and watching the tape, the fact that the last time we saw Zaleski dos Santos in the octagon was the infamous referee not calling the fight against Benoit St. Denis back at UFC 267 is crazy to me. That feels like a fever dream. I was like, how has he not fought since then? But he hasn't, and he looked fantastic. And Benoit St. Denis has now won two straight fights in the UFC. But then on the other side, man, I mean, you have a 17-3 Nurmagomedov coming in here. Classic wrestler striker matchup. Can Abu get the wrestling going? Like, if he does, he wins. And then obviously, you got to go to it every time. Fighters with Magomed in their name.
Don't we have a rule about Magomed?
I mean, fighters with Magomed in their last name are 52-9-1 in UFC history. 85%, 86%, somewhere right around there. That's tough to go against.
I mean, you have expertly laid out exactly the reason I'll be backing Abubakar Nurmagomedov, because at minus 105, that's a 50, 51% probability of winning. 80% with the Madoff rule. That's just math. I'm getting 30 free percentage points here. When else do you get a guy with the name Nurmagomedov at just about even odds? It doesn't happen. Now, is Abubakar not nearly as good as other Nurmagomedovs? Absolutely. Totally true. Is EZS pretty good at defending takedowns? Also pretty true. But I'm just going with the Magomed rule. That's what we're doing. We're locked in. I'm feeling fine about it.
I don't have anything, but I'm going to support you here. I'm going to cheer for it because I just want that number to get as big as possible. I want people with Magomed in their name to be like 111 and like 16 in the
UFC. Inverse of Jay Silva.
Yeah. Jay Ellis. Come on, man. Have
Ellis.
Some respect.
Ellis,
have
sorry.
Some respect. The fact that we both know who we're talking about in that case is quite ridiculous. I don't have anything, and I already have a lot of action down, but I'm cheering for the Magomed name stat because it's just so ridiculous.
Fantastic. Let's keep we're gonna
let's
make
keep
this
it rolling, dude. We're churning,
yeah.
And I think we're churning out some good information here. Knock on wood, hopefully we are. But next up, it's a men's bantamweight fight. John Castaneda taking on the second short notice Tajikistan fighter, Moin Gafurov. Right now, you can get Castaneda for minus 132, Gafurov at plus 115. Am I seeing that? Do I need to update that?
I think that's right.
Pretty much right there. Your thoughts on this fight?
I have zero thoughts. I did not do a... After I realized that I could not be betting on Nemov, I did not research this fight at all, so I don't want to give false promises to people out there listening. I know nothing about these two men.
So I went back and watched Gafurov's contender series fight against Chad and Helliger. I mean, he looked pretty good. Like, he lost, he ended up losing a split decision. He got knocked down in the first round, but like, he fought back and fought pretty well throughout the last two rounds. Probably the right decision with the splitty. But I mean, he's fought in a lot of high level promotions, one LFA, CB. And I mean, he's beaten some good dudes. He also is just like a all holy finisher, 10 knockouts, 7 submissions. Just
multiple
spinning
back kick finishes, which I'm a huge fan of.
I mean, and then the way Castaneda, who I believe I was riding in his last fight against Daniel Santos, when he couldn't get him out of there, I mean, it was all just kind of downhill from there. I mean, both of his UFC wins are by first round knockout. I think if Gafurov can survive, which I really think he can, he's a tough dude. He's never been finished. If he can survive, I think he can win this fight. I took a dog shot plus 120 on the Tajikistan short
See?
Notice.
Replacement. You were so close to being in the Tajikistan parlay.
I actually was not even ever even remotely close to playing Naimov. So that price is huge. That price is huge.
It's a very large number.
Yeah, I saw Gafurov open at like plus 285 on some book for like 3 minutes. I was like, whoa. And by the time I looked into it, he was like down to like plus 130.
Yeah, sounds sure. Like I said, I have nothing on this fight.
All right, let's keep it rolling. It is a heavyweight bout. Andre, the 44-year-old Arlovsky that I mentioned earlier, taking on Dontell Mays. And in a shocking turn of events, Dontell Mays finds himself as the favorite, minus 125 to Andre Arlovsky's plus 105. Yeah, I mean, like, it's just like, do I want to trust 44-year-old Andre Arlovsky or Dontell Mays? And like,
you don't have to trust either.
I was just going to say the real answer is neither, but I certainly, absolutely do not want to trust my money with Dontell Mays. After the Hamdi fight, he cannot be trusted. He lost again since then. Cannot trust that man. But please tell me why you're taking the over, because I think that's a good play.
I'm taking the over because heavyweight overs are my lifeblood. They're 10-7 on the year, Connor. We're up over 2 units on heavyweight overs collectively. 10-7, solid showing. And that can't really even, you know, take into consideration all of the fun that's had watching heavyweights fight for 15 minutes at a time. It's the best. And I think we're in luck. I think we're getting another 15 here. Andre Arlovsky is the patron saint of heavyweight overs. 7 of his last 10 have gone to decision. All 7 of those were Andre Arlovsky wins. The 3 that didn't go to decision, Andre Arlovsky losses. The man, when the man loses, he loses quickly, and so you don't have to sweat out losing the heavyweight over late, or he's just going to drag you into deep waters and beat you with experience. So Dontell Mays is a guy who can have that very thing done to him. You referenced the Hamdi fight. Tough fight. The Sakai fight, just an awful, awful clinch.
Awful.
Clinchy against awful. The fence. And if there's one man who knows how to clinch you against the fence and hold on to you for 15 minutes, buddy, it's Andre Arlovsky. So, you know, there's always the world where maybe Dontell Mays knocks out Andre Arlovsky. He's 44 years old. I don't think that that's incredibly likely. I do think this fight's going to go long. So I even feel good about this bet just outside of betting it for the fact that I'm betting every heavyweight over. But here's where I run into a bit of a problem, Connor.
I do love, just quickly, I do love when we give like the disclaimer like I did with the main event. Like, yeah. I actually like the under in this yeah. fight. I'm not just doing it for a gimmick yeah. here.
This isn't me committing to a bit. This is yeah. actually something I
this
would
is, this
find
is not me playing
in.
With actual money that I worked to earn for a stupid bit for a podcast. This is me actually liking the bet.
Look, the longer this podcast goes on, the less real bets I'm ever going to have. I'm just going to be riding gimmicks.
Honestly,
forever.
Honestly.
But here's where I run into a problem, and that problem is exactly this. This is the first leg of my gimmick parlay because I'm a big Andre Arlovsky supporter. I kind of want to bet him at underdog odds for the reasons you said you don't really trust Dontell Mays. I sure don't trust Dontell Mays, but trusting 44-year-old Andre Arlovsky is tough. And yet, I'm betting Dontell Mays as part of a two-leg parlay because
Godspeed.
It's going to be tough. But when the Tajikistan parlay was ripped from me by the littlest bit of logic and reason that I possess, I had to find a new parlay. And what else do you find on this card? There are 2 men on this card with apostrophes in their names. So we're making the apostrophe parlay with Dontell Mays and Damon Blackshear.
No.
It's probably not going to win, but this at least has the other side of it where if Andre Arlovsky does do the thing where he gets beat very early and my heavyweight over loses, that means I still have cashed the leg on the Dontell Mays part of the parlay. So one half of the gimmick parlay, heavyweight overs, that's where we're at here.
I don't know what to say. I mean, it's the old adage, friends don't let friends bet on Dontell Mays. I fell into the trap. At one point in my life, a low point in my life, I fell into the trap against Hamdi. And every second of that 15 minutes was just pure terror, torture. It was just a bad experience. And now you're going to do it against the grizzled vet and Andrei Arlovsky.
I mean, Hamdi, though, was on banned substances. So it really wasn't Dontell Mays' fault. You got to consider that.
Dontell Mays is famous for the video of him humping the dude's face in the fight, right? I mean, if we talk about the actual, you know, the intangibles here, I mean, Dontell Mays is 6'6 with an 81-inch reach.
Yeah, my issue is he's not that fast. Like,
he's definitely not fast. Like, if we're really getting into it, like,
I know, but that's the thing. Like, when you look at the dudes who have pulled off the knocking Andrei Arlovsky senseless and getting those quick finishes, like, say what you want about Marcos Rogério de Lima, not a tremendous fighter, but the dude is explosive, particularly early on in the fight, and that's just not who Dontell made. Tom Aspinall, explosive. Jairzinho Rozenstruik, explosive. That's just not who Dontell Mays is. He can get moved around the cage. He's not that fast with the hands. Arlovsky, I'll never be shocked. He's 44, but he's so veteran in this game. It seems a little unlikely that Dontell pulls out an early win here.
Well, listen, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to support Dontell Mays on Saturday.
You don't have to.
I'm not betting on him. Oh, no, stop, okay. please. I'm definitely not betting on him. I'm just going to support him because of your bet. All right. We spent entirely too long on that fight. Let's keep it rolling. Men's bantamweight bout. A lot of bantamweight fights on this card, too. Daniel Santos taking on Johnny Munoz Jr. Right now, you can have Santos for the ethical price of -205. Johnny Munoz Jr. coming back at +175. I went against Daniel Santos last fight and it bit me, dude. I mean, this guy is tough as nails and he just keeps walking forward. Knock him down, don't care. Getting up, going to keep walking forward. Like he has that Charles Oliveira in him. There's something in the water down at Shootbox. And I mean, I think this stylistically works very well for him in a fight against Johnny Munoz. I think he's just going to move forward. We've seen Munoz's chin touched, doesn't like to get hit that much. He has a great grappling game, but if he takes him down, I think Daniel Santos is just going to get back up. He's a black belt himself. I think there's a lot of advantages that Daniel Santos has, and I think he's eventually going to get Johnny Munoz out of there.
So you taking Santos?
I am taking Santos inside the distance.
So very, very logical breakdown, entirely reasonable. I'm going against you, and I want to be extremely clear when I say this. No one should follow me on this particular journey.
I want to hear what you have.
I have the most concrete of data points, really. You threw out some good ones, but let me give you the concrete data point that I think you must have missed, because if you had, you
had
wouldn't
have
feel
it.
As confident.
I had to have missed it.
Johnny Munoz Jr., has not defeated anyone with a Wikipedia page. He's fought two dudes who have wiki pages, lost to them both. But Daniel Santos does not have a Wikipedia page. Johnny Munoz is undefeated against gentlemen without Wikipedia pages. That's right. A perfect 12-0 against the unwikied who
wow.
Daniel Santos is among. This and so I'm betting this entirely as a joke just to see if Johnny Munoz can continue to defeat the unwikied.
I mean, I can't argue with that. I wish I could. I mean, does Johnny Munoz just quiver in his boots when he
gets starstruck?
Yeah, when he sees Wikipedia. Yeah, exactly. Wikipedia page. The lights are too bright when Johnny Munoz sees that they have a Wikipedia page. I love that. I like that we're going head to head. That will be a fun.
You may win this one, but I had to test
maybe,
it out. I wanted
but
to
I
see.
Mean, I mean, Daniel Santos does get hit. I mean, he is aggressive. Like, anyone can get caught, and especially Daniel Santos. We've seen him get caught a few times, but he just hasn't been put out, and he just keeps coming back. All right, let's keep it rolling. Women's strawweight bout, Jin Yufre taking on Elise Reed, the people's main event. I am talking low-level women's MMA, negative striking differentials. This is going to be a good one.
Love negative striking diffs.
Especially when both of them have it. I mean, it should be just a great affair. And I mean, Elise Reed's ground game is something to write home about. We've talked a lot on this card about fighters and why would you trust them? Both of these women don't make a great account for why you would trust them with your money if you're going to place a wager on them. But here I stand, backing Elise Reed.
Woo, let's go!
Yes, Your Honor, as well.
Not just me, Connor, but
ChatGPT.
The advancements of technology. The robots say Elise Reed is going to win this one. This is the ChatGPT bet of the week, baby.
Give me the breakdown, please. I need the breakdown.
Look, I was looking for a fight to ChatGPT. Didn't want to do the main event because I knew where we were going vibes wise, and I was like, you know what needs. You know what needs the science of artificial intelligence? Low-level women's mixed martial arts. Oh, yeah. That's what needs the science. Yes. ChatGPT is here to tell you that the fight progressed with both fighters showcasing their skills, each gaining moments of dominance. Reed's precision strikes found the mark on several occasions, leaving Frey with visible signs of damage. But Frey's experience allowed her to weather the storm and retaliate with calculated takedowns and ground control. After a brief moment of suspense, the announcer revealed Elise Reed emerged victorious, securing a hard-fought win, which maybe that's what happens, maybe it doesn't, but I do believe Elise Reed's going to get this W because the robots haven't led me wrong. 5-3 on the year with the ChatGPT bet. We are starting to build momentum.
All right. In all seriousness, Jin Yufre is 11-8. She's 38 years old.
She's 38 is a huge data point.
And her last fight, she got knocked out in 45 seconds to Pollyanna Viana, who,
no finisher, fighter,
big supporter, finisher by submission. Yes. First knockout since 2015. I mean, Elise Reed is not the greatest fighter in the world, but she will have a striking advantage in this situation. If Jin Yufre really game plans and comes in here smart, it will be to take down Elise Reed. Elise Reed really has shown nothing once it goes to the ground game, and we have seen Jin Yufre use top control before. I have no faith in her doing that, and I don't know if she's going to get the opportunity. I think Elise Reed is going to have some success, and me saying all of this is just a nice 1.1 to win one, easy, clean. I am not going heavy on this.
Let me give you one more thing just to seal the deal for you, because I don't know if you know this, but Elise Reed, Army reservist. You think a week after Memorial Day, she's not going to be coming here bringing her best?
You kidding me? She probably fought on Memorial Day weekend just to get some reps in. Absolutely not. I mean, this is just the soonest she could fight after Memorial Day.
Yeah, if they had had a fight card on Saturday, she'd have been doing it, but they didn't. So here she is showing out for the troops.
That's a great point. That's a great point. Elise Reed, thank you for your service. And we keep it rolling right on to the next fight. Men's bantamweight bout again. I mean, they picked and choose the weight classes for this one. Luan Lacerda taking on Damon Blackshear. Pretty closely lined fight. But right now, you can have Luan Lacerda minus 145, Damon Blackshear plus 125. I know you talked about the apostrophe thing, but I think we're going to be butting heads here as well.
That's reasonable, because I'll be honest. When I looked into this fight, I didn't love it, but I loved it better than the Tajikistan parlay.
Probably going to have better luck there. I mean, Lacerda, like, I felt like everyone was pretty impressed with his performance against Cody Stamann.
Had a good performance.
Yeah, UFC debut against not the easiest opponent in the world. Now he's back. I mean, I think he's just going to, like, kind of have an edge and advantage, like, anywhere. Like, he's got good striking. I think he'll be able to outstrike Blackshear. I think the takedowns will be there if he wants them. Now, like, he could get taken down by Damon.
But that's the path for me. Blackshear's got to get the takedowns. He struggled to really consistently pull that off in his UFC career. But if he had much more success with it in the regional level, if he can get that going, then maybe he can pull it off. But
for sure. I mean, another concern for Blackshear backers is gas tank is it's not terrible, but like. It is not one of his strong points. We have seen him fade down the stretch in some fights.
Yeah. Like I said, not my favorite parlay I've ever done, but I wanted a parlay, and it was this or the almost sure to lose Tajikistan parlay.
So. Man, that'll be so cool if the Tajikistan parlay does hit.
Throw like a tenth of a unit down just to burn $4.
It's going to be a big payout, two plus money plays. All right, we keep it rolling. Light heavyweight bout, Maxim Grishin. The last fight on the card. We are moving through this thing. Taking on Felipe Lins right now. Maxim Grishin, a slight favorite, coming in here at minus 135, Lins plus 115. Yeah, dude, I mean, both these guys are getting pretty up there in age. Lins is 37, but something that I thought about Lins as a dog, but he's had 8 canceled fights since 2020, and including a canceled fight against Maxim Grishin. And the majority of those, he was the one withdrawing. He looked pretty good earlier this year against an ancient OSP, but that kind of speaks for itself. Grishin too, man. I mean, he's 39 and he's had 5 canceled fights in the last 2 years. Like, these guys aren't consistently getting into the octagon. They're much older. It's not like they're about to make a title run. I just stayed away.
Like we did the last time we broke this fight down, I'm treating this as a spiritual heavyweight over.
I wonder if I had anything the last time. Like, I don't even remember that.
I don't remember. I do remember breaking this down because that was the first time I was like, this is a spiritual heavyweight over fight. And then it didn't end up happening. Look, Lins was a PFL heavyweight champion. Grishin fought for the M1 heavyweight championship, fought in the UFC at heavyweight, has missed weight and had to fight at heavyweight several times at heavyweight.
I think I'm picking up what you're putting down.
It feels spiritually heavyweighty. So I'm taking the over, over 2.5 minus 155. I don't know. This could be a real sweaty, bad fight pretty quickly if we don't get an early finish. So it's every heavyweight over realistically, but I'm going to keep riding them. And that's all the breakdown you're going to get.
I love it. I love it. That is UFC Apex 74. I mean, that was tight. We were on it. I don't know if it's the summer weather. I don't know if it's the flyweights being back.
It's a refresher. We just had to breathe it. We're ready to go.
100%. Now we got 13 straight weeks of it. Gotta love it. You gotta love it. I mean, we're going to go all the way through to the fall.
Full summer, baby.
Did want to touch on KSW Coliseum.
Let's go.
If you're chilling on Saturday and you have never watched KSW, I mean, this is the card to tune into. I have become a huge fan of KSW. It's just a show. It's just a spectacle, from the ring girls to the ring announcer to the fights themselves. I mean, it's just this Polish spectacle. I'm absolutely enamored by it. It's quickly become one of my favorite promotions. And it's produced some pretty decent UFC talent as well. I mean, you've got the likes of Jan Blachowicz, Mateusz Gamrot, Dricus du Plessis. Like, I think Joanna fought in it. There has been some serious talent that's come through KSW. Last time they did this, 57,000 people showed up. The second biggest MMA show ever, behind Pride Shockwave. Even beat out UFC 193 in Australia. 5 championship fights on that. I mean, they had Pujanowski, who, if you've never watched Pujanowski fight, he's fighting again this weekend. They had Mamed Khalidov. He's fighting in this weekend. How about this? Ariane Lipski versus Diana Belbita for the flyweight title in that one. Mateusz Gamrot defended his lightweight belt. Their UFC names littered throughout this thing. I mean, it was absolutely insanity. But this fight, this card, not as good. Not 5 title fights. There's still 3 title fights. Pujanowski's on it again. Khalidov's on it again. And then there's this guy who we could end up seeing in the UFC very soon. I actually hope we do. Saladin Parnasse. He's a French fighter. He's looking to become the 3rd double champion in KSW history. Mateusz Gamrot, pretty good name there. And Roberto Soldic, hopefully he doesn't end up the post-KSW career as Roberto Soldic. But it's a pretty good card. I'm making a case for it. It almost sounds like this is a KSW advertisement. But starts at noon Eastern, I think. I mean, it's just a beautiful timing and everything. If you're going to get the pay-per-view, I think it's like $10. And then on top of everything I just said, it's going to be in front of like 55,000 people in like a real deal UEFA certified soccer stadium. So it's going to be pretty tight. and I do have a couple bets. I won't dive crazy deep into these, but I did play the aforementioned Saladin Parnasse. He's going up. He already has the interim lightweight title, so he'll have two belts on Saturday. He's going for the real thing. Took him at minus 200. I think he's the truth. I mean, he is just incredibly well-rounded. He's 17-1. He avenged his one loss. He's only 25. It's just a well-roundedness. I think he gets it done here. I think he has a serious, bright future in MMA. Another one. You know of Parnasse.
Yeah, I love KSW. Yes. KSW puts on the best show in MMA and has for years and years.
It's just nonstop entertainment. It is just, I mean, when the ring girl gets up there with the giant flag, like instead of walking around the octagon with the card of what round it is, they're on this giant stage and they have this crazy camera angle and they wave this giant flag of what round it is. It's electric.
Dude, whenever... I don't want to go too deep down the rabbit hole because we've been keeping it tidy. But whenever fans are like, "Ah, oh, the UFC is great at promotion," I'm like, no, they're terrible. They have a great roster, a lot of things you can compliment them on. But watch a KSW event and watch a random UFC fight night. And the difference could not be, I mean, even just look at this fight poster. It's so much more creative and interesting than a UFC fight poster. Like that is... Their product is one of the best viewing experiences you can get. It's always worth the pay-per-view price. And Saladin Parnasse is the real deal.
Legit. I watched back some of his tape. Like,
super good.
That's really all I can say. It's like he is just well-rounded as hell. Like, he can strike well. He can throw beautiful kicks. He's got good boxing. He's got a great ground game. He's got submissions. Like, he really is super sick. If he loses because he moves up, so be it. I would love to see this kid in the UFC one day. It would be fantastic.
He'll make it there not too long. He's the future of French fighting.
Right? I love it. I mean, I love it.
All respect to Francis Ngannou, heavyweight champion of the world, but getting up there in age, this dude is the next guy.
Another thing I love about KSW is that the champions fight in gold gloves. It's just such a great touch. It's such a great touch. The ring guy has like this giant microphone too. Like it has like this huge elongated stick on it. I'm getting hyped just thinking about it.
Look at the poster. You notice the champions have a little bit of gold adornment around their names.
I didn't. I mean, the poster is great. I mean, it's like the actual like Coliseum look. It's so good, dude. It's so good. Other bets that I have quickly here. Roman Smansky, the money line, I took him at minus 225. So he fought this guy, Mircea, last year. And if you follow KSW, I know, you know, everyone knows Mircea injured his hand in that one, but it doesn't matter to me. I mean, he was getting beat pillar to post. And in that one, Smansky was a minus 215. Now we beat him pillar to post. Goes in, knocks another dude out in his most recent fight, and now they're rematching. We're getting essentially the same price. I just have to take it at that point. We saw this in PFL the other a few months ago. It was like the same thing.
It's a reasonable bet.
And then last but not least, don't have a line on it yet. If it's a playable line, I will be smashing it. But the Spilka versus Pujanowski fight. Listen, dude, Pujanowski is essentially Polish Fedor. Like, he is a legend, and he is here for a good time, not a long time. 11 of his last 14 have all gone under the 1.5. Only one of them has been to a decision.
Oh, yeah.
These guys are going to come in here and chuck them, dude. There is no doubt about it, and someone's going to fall. Spilka is, like, he has a boxing background, like a pretty decent boxer at that. Like, he's fought Derek Chisora. He's fought Deontay Wilder. He was, like, 24-5 or something, but he got knocked out in all five of his losses. If you look at his MMA record too, he's 2-0, both early finish wins. Under 1.5 in that one.
Yeah, this is not heavyweight overs do not extend to KSW.
Yeah.
That is not their purview.
I would be shocked if I really think these guys are just going to, Bell is going to ring. They're going to go to the center of the octagon and they're going to throw until someone falls.
I think this fight will last less than 3 minutes total. I'm going to follow you on the Parnasse. I'm going to parlay him up with Reed Frey goes to decision, I think. Cause that's, I sort of just have Reed Frey goes to decision sitting around here. And I think I'll parlay that up with Parnassan.
Shout out. I really hope he wins. It's always a treat to watch him fight. I did have one more, Thomas Romanowski. If you watched the MMA Hour Awards last year, mm-hmm. he cashed twice as a big underdog in 2022 and then won two more times as a slight favorite. He just keeps doing it. I mean, something that's really crazy about him, like actually like insanity, he fights at middleweight and he has a 66-inch reach, which is just...
T-Rex arms.
If he fought Israel Adesanya, the middleweight champion of the UFC, he would be at a 14-inch reach disadvantage and a 6-inch height disadvantage. And he is fighting for the vacant KSW middleweight title that I believe Roberto Soldic left vacant.
Look, having T-Rex arms doesn't mean anything. Just ask the GOAT, Artem Lobov. That's what people say about Tomas. He's the middleweight Artem Lobov.
He also is killing it. Five straight wins. Second longest streak in KSW behind Phil DeFries. Three first-round KOs. I mean, I'm rocking and rolling.
Does Parnass not have 5 points in a row?
I know
he lost one kind of fluky one, but I would have assumed that he was back on.
He lost
a while ago
to the dude that he then beat.
Yeah, I know he avenged that.
Four
I just straight. That
four
was
straight
while.
For Parnass.
Four. Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, that's it. KSW should be a great night. I mean, there are few things in this world that I enjoy more than afternoon cards. Like, if we could let's just start every UFC card at like 11:30 a.m. I would be a much happier man. My life quality would go up.
I agree. But you know, my life quality is going up because we did this in under an hour, baby. Let's go.
That is it. A little spring action. You know, it's the summer, the heat. We turned up the heat on this one. Nice and tight. I mean, just gave out an unbelievable amount of bets.
Bangers, bangers, bangers.
Bangers.
All in 60 minutes or less.
Bangers, bangers, bangers. I would go over all the bets, but you're just going to have to listen because we have to do this in under an hour just because we want to. That's it. Next week, 289. We're going to Canada.
Let's go, Canada. Woo-hoo. Love y'all.
Listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.